Last week, I preached on the parable of a friend in need, or a shameless nagging friend. That's not usually what is written as it's called, but however you want to look at it. But that parable was on prayer and approaching God with boldness and persistence. What brought Jesus to share that parable was that he was spending time in prayer, and his disciples saw him praying, and they asked him to teach them how to pray. The prayer we saw in Luke was a somewhat condensed version of the Lord's Prayer, and I talked about each part that was found in that briefly. One of those parts is from Luke 11:3, and it's, "Give us each day our daily bread." And what I talked about is this is recognizing that all we have is from the Lord, and our daily sustenance is from Him. Daily bread might refer to food or provisions, but it can also be referring to meeting all of our physical and spiritual needs. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he also quoted a verse, and he said, "Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word of God." Our daily bread might just as well be our daily portion of the Lord in our lives. We need him daily, just as we need food, water, and shelter. God is our provider of all things. And that's pretty much what I talked about last week on that portion. Everything we have is from the Lord, including possessions and wealth. But what can be a trap that we may fall into when it comes to things, wealth, or possessions? I would say that one particular problem is the belief that what we have, we somehow earned ourselves. I mean, all of us work in some way. Maybe you work at a job that you were hired at and you're paid as an employee. Maybe you're self-employed and you work various jobs doing different services for pay. Maybe someone has built up a business that has value. Or maybe you're a homemaker who works hard at making a home a home. We almost all work hard, or did work hard if you're retired. The danger comes when we trust our hard work and the results of our hard work more than we trust the creator of the universe, our provider, God the Father. I can say this is dangerous because I think most of us may have fallen into that attitude at some point in our lives, or if not, maybe you were at least tempted to do so. I mean, many people in this world say, "I work hard to earn what I get, and I should be able to do with it whatever I choose." That is, can be dangerous in marriage, as it can be dangerous as a follower of Christ. Here's why. I worked, I earned, I do what I want. It's all about me, isn't it? That's why it doesn't work in a marriage, because when you get married, you go from I to we, to become one, right? But most of all, as a follower of Christ, we know and acknowledge that our ability to work is a blessing, and what we have as a result of that blessing is further blessing in maybe possessions or finances. Whether we have great or few, it's all still a blessing from the Lord. Therefore, what we have is not mine, but the Lord's, and He has entrusted me or entrusted us to manage it or steward it well. Yet there's a little five-letter word that is always there tugging at our hearts to gain control, any control, and that little word is greed. an attitude and a desire for more, and is not satisfied even when more is obtained. Turn with me to Luke chapter 12, and we'll begin reading from verse 13. Luke 12, 13. I'll also have it up on the screen in the NIV version. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." We begin with a request. Someone in the crowd asked Jesus to tell his brother to divide the inheritance with him. Some translations may say to divide the inheritance equally, but that really isn't the point. Jesus' reply is a stern reply. "Who appointed me a judge or an arbiter?" Which is another way of saying a mediator or arbitrator. And you have to realize a couple of things with this. One, it wasn't uncommon for rabbis at the time to do such things. So the request was not really out of line as the people looked to Jesus as a teacher. Another thing to realize, which is really the bigger point, Jesus knew the heart and the attitude of the man who was asking Jesus for help. Jesus responds with what may seem a little harsh, but you have to realize that Jesus is responding to the man's attitude and his heart. Instead of that request for help, Jesus is not going to get involved in helping feed this man's greed. Now, we don't know all the details. We don't. So what I'm about to say is really only a guess. It may not be the real what was really going on. But have you ever seen a close-knit family fall apart when a parent or both parents pass away? The family begins fighting over things, property, money. Anyone ever seen that or heard about it? It actually happens fairly often, and it's truly sad that a family will fall apart over things. Is this what was happening in this man's life that was asking Jesus? Did he feel cheated out of what he should have been entitled to as an inheritance? Did that rift move him in this family to move to broken relationships? Was he now holding on to bitterness all because he wanted more possessions or money than what he got? You see, we see these things that happen around us. The interesting thing that Jesus says, and he says this to the entire group of people surrounding him, and not just the man asking for the help, he says, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed." Watch out, be on your guard. You don't know when these things will come in. In fact, if you're not paying attention and not keeping your guard up, it's possible that greed may creep in and you don't even realize it. The man asking for help, did he allow possessions and wealth to become more important than other things like family or love or peace? Did his attitude toward wealth cost him a life worth living and lead him to a life of pain and bitterness because greed was allowed to take that root? See, Jesus says at the end of verse 15, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. This man's life, my life, your life, is not defined by the accumulation of things. Now, our world, our culture, is going to say something different about that. They're going to say that the the man with the most toys wins, right? The person who's accumulated the most is considered successful, right? That's the definition of success, I think, in our societies. Having a family with 2.2 kids, a dog and a cat, and a large house, a bunch of brand new vehicles, and the latest iPhone, iPhone 20, whatever. But that's not what Jesus is saying here. He's saying you are not defined by the accumulation of the things that you have. Because the man with the most toys, he still dies. We're going to get to that here. It was King Solomon who reigned in Israel after King David. And King Solomon accumulated vast amounts of wealth, and he knew a little bit about greed. He wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, and in it he shared some of the wisdom that he gained. This wisdom is for us to learn from. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 5:10. Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. This too is meaningless. Look at the many celebrities who have amassed great wealth because of their stardom. Yet how many of them are miserable? One author wrote, "People have testified that while they have achieved their goals of wealth, relationships, titles, and pleasure, there was still a deep void inside, a feeling of emptiness that nothing seemed to fill. Life is not found in wealth or relationships or pleasures. Life is found in our Lord." Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way and the truth and the life. Our God, our Lord, our Savior is the source of life." Life doesn't come from money or fame or relationships or pleasure. We're not just talking about this present life, but we're also talking about the life to come, eternal life. If we continue reading, Jesus then shares a parable about an attitude of greed. And this is continuing in Luke 12. So Luke 12:16. "And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.' Then he said, 'This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I'll store up my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God.'" This parable is an interesting one. This parable is meant to really get us thinking about what we have and about our attitude toward what we have. Remember, we are to be on guard and we are to be watchful. The beginning of this parable, we're introduced to a rich man, so already we're told that this man is a man who is well-to-do financially. God blessed him already, and he continued to bless him with his land and a plentiful crop. What does the farmer do? Does he give thanks to the Lord for that crop? Does he seek the Lord's will and what to do with the blessing of that crop? No, instead he thinks of himself, "What shall I do?" As if he is saying, "What shall I do with the crop that I have produced?" He then comes up with a plan to store it all up for himself, tearing down the old barns and building bigger ones, and plans to retire early. He will do all this work and say to himself, "How successful he is. Because of his success, he can take life easy once everything is done. But what he doesn't realize, that Jesus tells us that his life on earth is ending that very night. And all that he has stored up for himself and all that he has done, all the things that he made himself proud of, all the accomplishments, he won't enjoy them. Someone else will enjoy what he worked for. King Solomon also pointed out that same point in Ecclesiastes 2:18. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool? Yet he will have control over all the work into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. The accumulation of wealth and things do not go with you when you die. You can't take it with you. The wealth will be passed to someone else. Yet that's not the big issue here. The bigger issue comes when someone, like this farmer in this parable, devotes his life and energy to the accumulation of wealth, being so focused on more and more. I've already talked about enough is never really enough, so the drive for more becomes the priority. This leads me to another verse in Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. It is easy to lose focus. A person may not realize that money has become their master until they realize money is ruling their life. But this is what we must be on guard about. We must be watchful, because we can elevate money, wealth, possessions. We could go even to non-monetary things like titles, things like that. They can take the place of where God should be. Now, when reading this parable, I began to ask myself, is it wrong to put away for retirement? Is it wrong to plan ahead? Is it wrong to save for our kids? And I would say the most of you would say, no, it's not. Maybe some of you wish you had a little extra to put towards retirement. But I would agree, it's okay to save and put away. But the problem comes in when our focus is just on that and not on what God wants. Remember, it's all His to begin with. Where would God want you to put your wealth? Are we asking that question? God, what do you want me to do with what you've given me? Do we just put it in our wallet and our bank account? If not there, where would God ask us to put it? God might be asking you to tithe. Tithe to the church. Giving 10%. Maybe it's giving toward some special need, helping others who are in need. Maybe the Lord has asked you to do something specific. But we know one thing, God loves a generous giver. Generosity keeps us from falling into that trap of greediness. The things that we are given from the Lord, if we're not holding on to it tight enough, we'll be generous. Retirement or savings isn't wrong unless you felt the Lord asking you to give somewhere and you chose to keep it for yourself. That's where saving becomes a problem. It's all His. Verse 21 says, this is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God. When we are focused on serving the Lord, money won't be an issue. Yes, we may have times of abundance and other times of need, but the Lord is the one who provides all of our needs. We put God first and our wealth will definitely go with that. Being rich toward God is loving the Lord with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, and with all our strength. It is taking what we receive from Him and honoring Him with being kingdom-minded and not me-focused. Let us serve others. Let us show compassion for others. Show compassion for those who are in need. I know we've had a number of sermons that cover that issue, but obviously Jesus is using parables to try and teach us similar themes in different ways so that maybe it'll sink in even on someone with a thick skull like mine. These are important for the Lord. Compassion and generosity. We lose those when we hold on to our things too tightly.